During yesterday's House Intelligence Committee hearing, FBI Director James Comey confirmed the agency is investigating Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election, as well as possible coordination between Donald Trump's campaign and Russian officials. Comey also acknowledged that he had no information that would support claims made by President Trump that he had been wiretapped by former President Barack Obama. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, March 21st. We will check in with a political analyst this hour to break down yesterday's hearing and talk about the most significant developments and where we go from here. And we welcome your reaction to what we heard, what we learned, and your questions at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Bruce Jennelson is a professor of public policy and political science at Duke University. His areas of expertise include U.S. foreign policy. He was also the former senior advisor to the director of policy planning at the State Department between 2009 and 2011. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us again. We'll get into some of the specifics, but broadly, what do you think we learned from yesterday's House Intelligence Committee hearing?
So I think it's the two main points that you mentioned. One was that there was no basis for President Trump's allegation that Trump Tower had been wiretapped by President Obama or anybody in his administration. I think both FBI Director James Comey and the National Security Agency Director Admiral William Rogers both said that. And Rogers added that the notion that the British somehow were doing this, for the Obama administration, his quote, was utterly ridiculous. The second thing was that the FBI is investigating, and it's unusual that they announce an investigation while it's going on, both Russian efforts to help the Trump campaign as an aspect in itself, and then also whether or not there was any kind of coordination between people associated with the Trump campaign and the Russians in doing that.
So what exactly is this committee investigating here? What are the goals?
This is the House Select Committee on Intelligence, and it was created really in the 1970s after some of our intelligence scandals, and both in the House and the Senate, this committee has really tried to maintain a reputation for bipartisanship. And I think the whole notion that Russia could have been, active disrupting our elections, whether or not they influence the result or not, is a huge issue for American democracy, as well as the follow-up question of if that were the case, how is that affecting the Trump foreign policy towards Russia? Is it making them more amenable to Russian interests? So these are probably some of the biggest issues for the American political system, really since Watergate.
Well, let's break down some of the testimony. In his opening remarks, FBI Director James Comey, who had been called to testify, offered up information that many already suspected. Let's take a listen.
I have been authorized by the Department of Justice to confirm that the FBI, as part of our counterintelligence mission, is investigating the Russian government's efforts to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. And that includes investigating the nature of any links between individuals associated with the Trump campaign and the Russian government, and whether there was any coordination between the campaign and Russia's efforts.
So, from a political standpoint, how significant is this that the FBI director announced this?
I think it's really huge, and I think the headlines probably in your papers as well this morning are not understating what's going on. I mean, this is a sitting president who's been in office less than 2 months, a major investigation, whether or not it's breaking the law, but the whole notion of a country that for almost 50 years in the Cold War was our major adversary and has reemerged as an adversary to be doing this in American elections. I mean, it really has to make people stop and think. And, you know, not just as a partisan issue, but if there's anything that we want to feel is sacrosanct and that we have confidence and trust in, it's our electoral system. It has other problems, you know, but the notion that it could be disrupted by Russia, I think, is pretty staggering. And for Comey, FBI Director Comey, to say, again, whether it happened or not is one question, but a lot of bases, many people associated with the Trump campaign have already been named as having had links, financial and otherwise, to the Russians.
Comey, along with National Security Agency Director Michael Rogers, were both asked about whether or not this Russian meddling could have affected vote tallies in a variety of states, including Wisconsin. Here's House Intelligence Committee Chair, Republican U.S. Representative Devin Nunes asking about that.
So you have no intelligence that suggests or evidence that suggests any votes were changed?
I have nothing generated by the National Security Agency, sir.
Director Comey, do you have any evidence at the FBI that any votes were changed in the states that I mentioned to Admiral Rogers?
No.
And so was he asking specifically about hacking into a ballot machines or election machines rather than whether or not the releasing of emails, for example, influenced people when they voted?
No, that's right. I think there's been no allegation that I've seen of any credibility yet, let alone evidence, that they actually hacked on election night and changed the numbers in the machines. I think it was more a question of, you know, spreading news stories. So many things go into how people vote that no Democrat has said, really, that, you know, if it wasn't for the Russians, Hillary Clinton absolutely would have won. They have raised the question of how that sort of mix of things, you know, sort of the brew of things that go into the stew of an election were affected. But at this point, at least, there's no sense that they played with the numbers that night, but that many things they did in the run-up to it affected the way people were thinking. And that's impossible to prove. So the issue is not whether, you know, people can say, oh, yeah, the Russians affected my vote. But any interference in the election really has to be something that that we take extremely seriously and we figure out what to do about it.
Yeah, I know. And Donald Trump, President Trump, actually highlighted this exchange on his official POTUS Twitter page, saying, hey, you know, there was no influence on the election. And then he was fact-checked in a way live during the hearing. Talk some about that.
Yeah, I have to say it's a little disturbing that in the middle of the day the president wasn't sufficiently busy with the nation's business that, and instead he was watching the hearing and tweeting out. That I think, when you know all of the things that go into the president's daily schedule, that doesn't inspire a lot of confidence about the way he's choosing to spend his time. And much of this started with the tweets. The allegation of wiretapping of Trump Tower came from him, I think, on a Saturday morning in tweeting. So the question of, you know, did the Russians play with the numbers on election night? Nobody's saying that. And if, you know, he was trying to address that and say, you see, there's no problem here. What's the big deal? It's just a Democratic, you know, rationalization for losing. And the director of the FBI, many members of the Intelligence Committee, the head of the NSA are saying, no, it's much more serious than that. That's only a small sliver of the issue.
Yeah, but some might be saying, hey, if this did not influence the outcome of the election, what are we investigating here? Why should we be concerned about this?
Well, not playing with the numbers on election night, and, you know, maybe that happened, we don't know yet, is one thing, but it doesn't mean it didn't influence the outcome of the election. You know, the efforts to spread news, fake news, and other things affected the way people were thinking and voting, and so that's the way you get impact on the election. You know, we're all susceptible, you know, to many things. If we see an advertisement on television, we may not be conscious that that made us buy, you know, a particular product in the moment, but it really affects it. So the question of impact on the election is not simply a matter of, you know, playing with the numbers on election night. It runs much deeper and broader than that.
We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will continue talking with our guest, Bruce Gentleson, who is a professor of public policy and political science at Duke University, talking about the significance of the hearing yesterday, the House Intelligence Committee hearing, where FBI Director James Comey, among other things, acknowledged that he had no information, that there was no evidence that would support claims made by President Trump that he was wiretapped by former President Obama. And we'll talk more about that coming up after the news. And we'll welcome your reactions and your questions. So how big a deal is this news to you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Curtine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Curtine Show. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Curtine. We are talking about the testimony yesterday before the House Intelligence Committee regarding a possible Trump campaign Russia connection, talking about the wiretapping charge that President Trump has leveled against former President Barack Obama. And we are welcoming your reactions and your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Curtine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Curtine Show. Our guest is Bruce Gentleson, a professor of public policy and political science at Duke University. At the hearing yesterday, FBI Director James Comey was asked about President Trump's claims that his predecessor, President Obama, ordered surveillance of Trump Tower during the election campaign. And here's what Comey had to say about that.
With respect to the president's tweets about alleged wiretapping directed at him by the prior administration, I have no information that supports those tweets, and we have looked carefully inside the FBI. The Department of Justice has asked me to share with you that the answer is the same for the Department of Justice and all its components. The department has no information that supports those tweets.
So is the Trump administration now backing away from those claims, or does it seem as though it's doubling down on them?
Yeah, it is doubling down. You know, it's this notion, people that have studied or analyzed Donald Trump's, you know, mode of operation going back to his business days, see a pattern in which even when he's wrong, he doubles down, I think, in an effort to intimidate. That worked actually somewhat, I think, in the Republican primaries. It worked a little bit in the general election against Hillary Clinton. It may have worked, you know, when he was dealing with, you know, small family businesses in the real estate business. But now, as president of the United States, where you're accountable to the American people and you have the Constitution and other laws, and just the average American sort of making their judgments about, you know, what makes sense and what doesn't, I would think that a lot of advisors would prefer that he doesn't do that. But he clearly does. He clearly keeps doubling down. The phrasing in from FBI Director Comey was very careful. He added that it wasn't just the FBI, that it was all components of the Justice Department. He went on during, you know, the hearings even to say other things that really cast real doubts about where this was coming from. So they may continue to double down to try to distract and say, well, the real issue is who leaked this. But it's a really crazy accusation if you think about it. When has a president of the United States ever accused another of this kind of crime? I'm not sure that's ever happened in American history.
Yeah, so we have a lot of callers, and I'll get to them in just a moment. And I do want to talk about that, the leaks part of this, too. But where do you see this issue, this story headed in the coming weeks?
I think it's going to be very hard, even with what I said before about the intelligence committees in Congress trying to be more bipartisan than others. It'll be very hard for Congress to investigate this. I think it's ultimately going to take, you know, an independent commission like we did after 9/11, like we've done on other kinds of issues, to really investigate it, because it has to have a degree of separation. You saw a lot of politics yesterday, no surprise. I don't think we're going to get to that until we have more revelations, and there may well be more revelations coming. But I think at some point, that's probably the best way for the country to get resolution one way or another that the country can have trust in, is an independent commission or a special prosecutor. But I don't think Congress by itself can handle this, given the severity of the issues that are at stake.
Ron on Facebook says, if you are a praying person today, which was yesterday when he posted this, is a day to pray for the future of our country. Illegitimate president is the biggest threat to the safety of our nation. Your reaction to that?
Well, I'm not prepared to say he's illegitimate. He mm-hmm. did win the election. He did win the election. I think it would take a lot more to say that he's illegitimate. I think there is a sense, even among some people, increasingly you see this in polls, who may have voted for him and kind of agree with some of his policy positions. Whether or not, you know, his impetuousness and the way he goes about the job is, number one, what we want our children to see in the institution of the presidency, and number two, what it really takes to do a job like that. And I think he's adding to the questions about him as a person, even among people that may lean towards some of his policy positions.
Dan in Franksville is with us. Hi, Dan.
I don't really agree with the investigation, all the stuff with Russia. I really can't find anyone from either side of the aisle. Ordinary Americans, they can't even tell me what the hacking was. They go, Russia, they just follow the narrative on the media, because they're actually Americans I think they're one of the lowest politically informed populaces in the Western world. I think there's even the studies on that, but no one knows what the hacks were. They just say Russia was involved in our elections. It's just no one knows what the hacks are.
Yeah, so you're not concerned about it because no one knows what the hacks are, Dan?
Well, it's important. I mean, Thomas Jefferson says you don't even have a democracy if you don't have an informed populace. So this is even questioning whether we have a democracy in this country, because the public is, there's no information out there.
All right. So, what are these hacks, Professor Gentleson? Do we know specifically what Russia is alleged to have done to try to meddle in the U.S. election?
Yeah, we know a fair number of things now. We know that they put out, you know, various kinds of fake news and lots of distortions, and they used, you know, their computer sophistication. We forget, actually, with all the things that we think Russia's way behind on. You go back to the Cold War. They had the scientists and the physicists to keep up with us with nuclear weapons. So the fact that they have, you know, computer-savvy scientists and techies is not a total surprise. And so they had these bots and all these other things that were putting out stories, false stories. Hillary Clinton was behind a sex ring in a pizza parlor in Washington and all these crazy things. But I will say, I actually think, you know, sometimes people think we university professors are, you know, the elitists, we only talk to ourselves. I have a lot of confidence in the common sense of the American public. When people sit down at their dinner table, you know, they get it, and I think they understand the stakes here, and that this is something very dear to them and all the generations that came before. So I have a lot of confidence in the overall judgment that the American public will eventually reach in this.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it is believed that Russia did hack into the DNC computer or email system and or John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign manager's emails. And do we know that for a fact, or is that just a theory?
No, we know that for a fact. And we also know that one of the political advisors to candidate Trump, Roger Stone, may have made an oops where he tweeted out himself the day before that happened that John Podesta was about to be in for a surprise. And then the next day it was revealed that he had been hacked into. So people wonder how a Trump political advisor knew that before anyone else in the country did.
Yes, yeah, so, and really no one is saying, as you mentioned before, no one is saying that Russia hacked into election machines on election day to try to influence or change the tallies.
No, that's really not the issue. You know, maybe that'll become the issue. I doubt it. I don't think it. I think it's more the way that they disrupted the political process, potentially going back to, you know, March or April, and that they created false news. They manipulated a lot of things going on, made the Podesta emails, including his Italian recipe for polenta, a story when there could have been other stories out there. So that's the issue.
And FBI Director Comey, when asked about this yesterday, I wish I had that clip, but he said that Putin hated Hillary Clinton and that therefore was going to do whatever he could to help her opponent. Is that how you read that?
That was a really interesting statement because Comey was very careful in a lot of statements, and he kind of went off script. And he basically said what you said. He said, you know, because when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, she'd been a strong advocate for human rights. When Putin got, quote-unquote, reelected, the State Department was issuing lots of studies and statements about, you know, ways in which the elections were not free and fair. And, you know, I think in some ways Putin's macho just didn't like this notion of a strong woman. And so, yeah, there was a lot. I mean, Putin, Comey used the word hated, as you said. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are other motivations for the Russians doing this. They seem to be doing it in the European elections, too. But that was a real driver for it. And, you know, whether or not that was enough to in itself or whether there was this relationship with the Trump people as well, you know, there are changes in the Republican Party platform. One of the few changes that was made was a softening of the position, anti-Russia position on Ukraine that was made at the behest of Trump advisors, not the rest of the party. So, you know, those are one of the aspects that leads you to wonder, you know, whether there was a quid pro quo here.
Dan, thanks for the call. Thomas in Appleton is with us. Hello, Thomas.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What is your thought?
Honestly, I feel like we're spending too much time on something that's, to me, basically irrelevant.
Why is it irrelevant?
Well, I look at the fact that there's fake news all over the world, you know, and it'd be nice if we have one spot that we knew was a definite non-fake news area where we can get our information, but we don't really have that. I wish that, you know, we could be spending our time on something that's more important. Instead of worrying about Russia with the fake news, people's going to put fake news out all the time. It's just a matter of whether the person is going to listen to that information or fact check and, you know, get all the information straight.
Yeah. So, you know, Russia, though, trying to influence the U.S. election by releasing emails and beyond the fake news stories that were negative against one of the candidates. You don't think that's a big deal that Russia tried to according to the investigators, was trying to influence the outcome of the election?
Honestly, no, I don't. Partially due to the fact that my whole life you have all kinds of people that try to influence you, you know, and it's up to the person themselves to get their information, you know, and where they get it. If you just go with what one person says your whole life, you're going to basically go whatever path that one person wants you to go down. I think that, you know, we have more important things that we need to focus on. And, you know, I just don't see that it should be that big of a deal that some other country or some other person says one thing. You know, to me, it's not that big of an issue.
Yeah. And it's not a big issue to you either that President Trump said President Obama wiretapped him. And there's no evidence to show that's true.
Well, with the FBI being involved in that, supposedly, I don't know, and this is just my personal opinion, wasn't the FBI involved in Hillary Clinton in some way, shape, or form about some of the stuff that she did that was wrong? If there's no evidence, I'm sure the FBI is pretty good at cleaning up their trail that, if they wanted to show there was no evidence, there would be no evidence.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into a little bit about what the FBI investigating Hillary Clinton's email situation. But Professor Gentleson, here we have someone who says, hey, no big deal. There are more important issues to focus on. What's your reaction to that?
You know, we wouldn't be dealing with the wiretapping thing if Donald Trump hadn't thrown that out there in the process. Nobody was even thinking about that, so he brought that upon himself. And I have trouble equating, you're right, there's plenty of fake news out there. I'm sure there are, fake stories about someone like Aaron Rodgers, or mm-hmm. some other famous sports or entertainment personality. But I can't equate, one of our major adversaries in the world interfering with a sacred trust that we've been given from the founding fathers as just any old issue. This gets at the fundamentals, and it really is something we have to pay attention to. So I just can't go there in terms of saying, oh, it's no big deal. It's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, what about the FBI and Director James Comey's a discussion in public before the election of the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails?
Yeah, the question remains, because Comey said yesterday that this investigation into the Trump possible connections to the Russians was ongoing, well before the election. Why he went public with Hillary Clinton's emails, which were an issue, but I don't think they threatened national security. And he didn't go forward with this. So some people might say, oh, he's just trying to make up for that. I don't think so. I think right now that this stands on its own merits and its own significance, and we have to, really treat it that way and not just, say that, maybe the FBI is trying to cover its tracks. I mean, that, if we believe that, then I'm not sure, what there is left to put trust in. Do we say that about the Supreme Court? Do we say that about the military? We have to look at what the evidence is and follow that and deal with what it may tell us about what really happened.
Before our newscast, I want to play a clip where U.S. Representative Trey Gowdy was questioning the FBI's James Comey about investigating who leaked the information. Let's take a listen.
Is the investigation into the leak of classified information, has it begun yet?
I can't say, because I don't want to confirm that was classified information.
Well, I don't want to quarrel with you, Director Comey, and I do understand that you cannot ordinarily confirm or deny the existence of an investigation. But you did it this morning, citing DOJ policy, given the gravity of the fact pattern. Would you not agree that surveillance programs that are critical, indispensable, vital to our national security, some of which are up for reauthorization this fall, that save American lives and prevent terrorist attacks, also rises to the level of important?
I think those programs are vital, and leaks of information collected pursuant to court order under those programs are terrible. And as I said in my opening statement, should be taken very, very seriously. What I don't ever want to do is compound what bad people have done and confirm something that's in the newspaper.
So the significance of that, Representative Gowdy wanted an assurance from the FBI director that the leaks were going to be investigated and specific people were being investigated?
Yeah, I mean, if there have been leaks of classified information, that warrants investigation. But it was a pure diversionary tactic. I mean, it'd be like saying, for those who remember Watergate, that the real problem was Deep Throat, not, President Nixon and his top aides like Haldeman and Ehrlichman. It's a total diversion. It clearly was engineered by the White House to somehow elevate. At one point, the chairman of the committee said that the leaks and the question about Russia were of equal importance. No way. I mean, the leaks are an issue, but it's really an effort to change the subject. And it was pretty transparent the way that they did it. Congressman Gowdy was chairman of the committee that conducted the endless investigations of the Benghazi incident, which was a serious incident. Patriotic Americans doing their service to the country were killed. But there were more hearings on Benghazi than there were on the Iraq War, the entire period of the Iraq War. So it just doesn't meet the meter of credibility.
I'm going to jump in because we have news next, and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with our guest political analyst about the testimony before the House Intelligence Committee yesterday, where FBI Director James Comey confirmed that the FBI is investigating Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election as well as a possible coordination or connection between Donald Trump's campaign and Russia. Comey also said there was no evidence that would support claims made by President Trump that he had been wiretapped by former President Barack Obama. So what do you want to talk about? What stood out to you from yesterday's hearing? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Our guest is Bruce Jenelson, a professor of public policy and political science at Duke University. His areas of expertise include U.S. foreign policy. Melissa in Waukesha is with us. Hello, Melissa.
Hi there.
Hi, what do you think?
Well, quite frankly, I'm astounded that some of the callers who have called in have basically said that this is not a big deal to them. I was appalled yesterday at the testimony and really afraid for our country, and to hear people say, oh, well, no big deal. People influence us all the time. We don't know what to believe. I mean, I don't know what, none of us know exactly what happened yet, but to say that it's no big deal if it did happen, I'm just wondering for the professor if there has ever, if this has ever happened before, where there's a subset of American people who say, well, no big deal, because I certainly can't think of a time when that would have been true.
Yeah, it's a good point, Lisa. I mean, I think there have been times where people, you know, almost basic human psychology don't want to deal with something that's really scary and frightening. And, you know, as a country, for example, in the 1930s, we didn't pay attention to Hitler's rise, right? While he was starting the Holocaust, attacking Britain, until we were attacked at Pearl Harbor. So this does happen to us and to other countries. And I think that's really where, you know, the old notion of the truth shall set you free. We need to know, and then we'll decide what to do about it. But you think about the precedent that would be set if we said no big deal to this, you know, kind of your point, what then would really be a big deal to our country if this is not?
Well, Matt from Wausau wants to know what happens if the Trump campaign is found to have colluded with Russia. What then?
That, you know, remains to be seen. There are probably ways of colluding that are a crime. I'm not a lawyer. Mm. And there are ways that are just wrong, period. What the country would do about it, we don't know yet. Would it lead to an impeachment? Would it lead to an apology? Would it lead to certain people, you know, being removed from their jobs and the administration continuing? Really depends what, you know, what the evidence is and how the administration responds. And often the case that you get into trouble not just for what you did, but for efforts to cover it up. That's what happened to Nixon and Watergate. And if the Trump administration continues to double down, irrespective of the evidence, that would probably make it a lot worse for the president.
Yeah. A guy on Facebook says there was surveillance, but at this point everyone is dancing or dodging with words. Russia and Trump have absolutely no connection. Well, what about that? Is guy right?
I can't see how he can say that. Yeah. I think there's enough evidence for the FBI to investigating. We have seen, you know, Michael Flynn, who became National Security Advisor, has been shown to have accepted $68,000 at least as a consultant that he didn't report, including while he was serving as an advisor to the campaign. Paul Manafort, who was campaign manager. Sean Spicer, the press secretary, said he only worked for us a little bit and didn't have a big role. Well, he was campaign manager for 5 months, and then he managed the Republican convention. There's one story after another. There's a new one that broke today about his relationship with the Ukrainians that Russia supported. We're seeing Roger Stone. You know, we're seeing lots of things going on here. So there is some evidence already. We just don't know how far it goes.
And I know that some of the leading Democrats on this committee were also saying we see a lot of attempts at covering up connections or meetings between former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn and Attorney General Jeff Sessions, that this is something that needs investigation.
It does, and that's what the FBI is doing, and that's what journalists are doing. You know, we have a society which believes in free press, and I think the press is out. You know, the press ran a lot of stories on Hillary Clinton So it's not like the press is, you know, as one-sided as it is accused of being. Flynn already had to resign. I will say that the new National Security Advisor, General H.R. McMaster, someone I know and have worked with and respect, is much better for the job. But that doesn't take away the issues that Flynn raised.
Brian in Winona is with us. Hello, Brian.
Hi, how's it going, Joy? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. What
are
your thoughts?
How's your morning going?
Go ahead, Brian. We're almost out of time.
Okay, I was just curious. First off, I'm not justifying what the Russians are up to, but I think like part of the discussion should be the aspect of blowback for United States foreign policy in Ukraine, and also attempts by the United States to influence the Russian elections. Vladimir Putin definitely is a dictator, but I think for years United States foreign diplomacy sort of shows like a hubris in the American imagination that we can sort of like be involved in other people's affairs.
All right. Well, has the U.S. tried to influence Russian elections, Professor Gentleson?
Yeah, we have. I mean, there's a point there, Brian. I think that we have in the 2012 election. We did it, you know, pretty much above board, though. And we did it in the sense of what we considered to be, you know, universal values of democracy. But there is a legitimate debate. Even people like Henry Kissinger often argue that we should focus on foreign policy issues with the Russians and not internal. There's a serious debate there. Ukraine, though, is kind of a different story. It's the Russians that, you know, invaded and just simply took over Crimea. It's the Russians that have been supplying those in eastern Ukraine fighting. So, you know, the blame on that issue really is with the Russians. But your other point about how much we should be trying to get involved in other countries' political systems, that's a useful debate. People can genuinely have different views on that.
Let's go to Louise in Wauwatosa. Go ahead.
Hi. My question pertains primarily to the use of an independent commission. We were assured before this began that this was going to be a bipartisan investigation. And from what I heard yesterday, the Republicans and the Democrats are on two different pages. And I question whether this will be bipartisan. Additionally, the fact that the president continued to tweet during the hearings, I found distressing, intrusive, and potentially coercive to the individuals on the committee. What are the chances of an independent commission?
I agree with you that that's the best way to go. I think that we're not, you know, there's not enough support for it yet. My own sense is if that there are more revelations, we'll get there. In Watergate, we had both a congressional process and independent prosecutors. And the country turns to independent commissions when an issue is of such importance and severity that it needs that stature. And also, as you said, when it's just not convinced that Congress can put aside partisanship enough. So I think that's the best way to go. And we're not there yet, but if there's more revelations, that may be where we get to.
Walt from Jefferson County emailed saying the Intelligence Committee chairman was a part of the Trump transition team. Isn't that a concern? Is that right?
He was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a week or so ago, he was just holding the line for the Trump position. Changed a little bit. It's kind of hard not to when you get the testimony. But he was also one of the ones that kept saying, you know, let's focus on the leaks as the diversionary tactic. So I think there's some the previous caller about credibility and partisanship, a lot of that is very much about him.
Glenn in Blue Mounds. Hi, Glenn.
Good morning. Quick comment about why Trump is likely to double down on as many untruths as he can try to get away with is the fact that every number for 4 years he based his whole political career on the birther thing, which is basically a lie, and he knew it. But he didn't want to be called a liar, so he had to double down for 4 years on that.
Yeah, and we're almost out of time, so I don't know. You're concluding remarks on at least this the Russia leaks and wiretapping situation and collusion, Professor Gentleson.
Sure. And the most important thing a president has is the belief of the American people that he'll tell the truth even when it's difficult, and that we can trust him. And I think that is being squandered. And I think the Russia issue has raised it to a level, but as the caller said, there have been other aspects of that. And, you know, this is very serious, and I think we're going to continue to dig and find more, because my guess is there's a lot more there to be found.
We do have just a minute or two to go, and I did want to ask you about some other things happening this week. Political observers saying this week could be one of the biggest of Trump's presidency so far. In addition to yesterday's hearing, confirmation hearings are now underway for Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Neil Gorsuch. And the House is scheduled to vote on the GOP health care bill on Thursday. What are you going to be watching for in particular as the week progresses?
Well, you know, I think the Gorsuch hearings will go on. I don't think they'll be decided by the end of this week. My own guess is he probably will get confirmed. The health bill, you know, your Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan is front and center on that. I have to say it's a bit odd that you have a bill of this importance and you don't even have hearings on it. It immediately goes to the markup of bringing it to the floor. I'm all for efficiency, but that sort of seems to be, you know, trying to limit the amount of public input. So I think health care still runs a lot of problems, including from other Republicans, not just Democrats.
Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Bruce Gentleson, a professor of public policy and political science at Duke University. His areas of expertise include U.S. foreign policy. He was a former senior advisor to the director of policy planning at the U.S. State Department between 2009 and 2011. Thanks to Chris Molina and to Nyasia Ellison for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. It's On Your Money coming up in our next hour. Financial planner Kevin McKinley is back, and he will answer your personal finance questions, as well as sharing some information on, is being busy the new status symbol? And when should we reallocate our portfolios? That and more coming up during On Your Money in our next hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.